Just like Brucey said, it's time for Season 2 of Fight Predictions. Join myself, Ian Hurst, Musa Christian, Oliver Harriet, as we predict all the biggest up-and-coming fights in the world of MMA and combat. Welcome to the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast. And welcome to Season 2 of Fight Predictions on the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast. Three-person predictions this time. Yeah, last time, Season 1, myself, Ian Hurst, Musa Christian. This time, there's going to be three of us. So we've got Oliver Harriet joining us. They're both sat with me now. We've had some audio issues trying to get this going because we're three fucking idiots. But we've got it organised. They're going to use a mic each for now.
We're sharing a mic.
So we're not observing social distancing protocols at the moment.
They keep going nose to nose. It's quite cute. So, yeah, this is how it's going to work. So there's myself, Ian Hurst, Musa, the Savage Christian.
Yeah, yup.
And we've got Oliver Diva.
Hello, fuck off.
I know you haven't got a fight name, but I had to throw that in there for Musa. Yeah, so on Season 1, Musa won the belt at Fight Island 3, Conor McGregor versus Poirier, and he retained it throughout the entire season. It closed quite close at the end, but he was the reigning champion. So he'll carry the title into Season 2. Yeah, but he's got two people to defend it against now. So we're back to zero points, and we're going to start again. So it's a three-month competition, April, May, and June, and we're going to start with UFC 261. Quickly, we'll just go over your sort of your favorite fight or the fight you're most looking forward to on this card, and then we'll go on from there. So, have you got a favorite fight on this one, Al?
I think the main event. I think Usman Masvidal. Be interesting to see if Masvidal can make any adjustments. You know, stop getting clinched, stop the takedown, and light him up on the feet. But I think he's got his work cut out, hasn't he?
Yeah. By you, Musa.
I'm quite interested in Uriah Hall, Chris Weidman, actually. I think there's a good little narrative going on there. And
it's technically a rematch. I don't know if you know.
It is, yeah.
Before they were both in the UFC.
Yeah. Uriah Hall won the first one, did he?
No, Weidman won.
Oh, well.
I think Uriah Hall was the champion. Weidman won, came into the UFC, and that's when he was undefeated.
Through the Ultimate Fighter, if I'm right, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Just both at different kind of stages of the career, and I'm a big Weidman fan. I'd love to see him have a bit of a resurgence, but we'll see.
Yeah. What about the fights this weekend? Obviously, it's Sunday as we're recording this, so if anything's changed by the time this comes out, any fight cancellations, then you just lose those points. I'll go over how the actual predictions works in a second. But obviously, we've just had Ben Askren versus Jake Paul. So Jake Paul is now like the biggest star in boxing, so it sucks for you if you're a boxing fan.
Yeah, still undefeated.
Actually heartbroken. I woke up about three times in the night. I didn't stay up to watch it because I was on a course today. I woke up about four times in the night and looked at the time for, I wonder if it's been on yet, just to check this.
I can't wait to wind Wayne Reed up about this because he's obviously diehard boxing. I'm going to be like, Jake Paul's the man in boxing now. He's the biggest star in boxing. So enjoy your sport.
He's the goat.
What you've got to think is though, right, what's like their target audience's age? Because it's got to be less than 16, hasn't it?
Probably, yeah. I think boxing's really struggling. Boxing's really on its arse at the minute. I don't know where it goes from here. Obviously, we did an episode all about sort of the differences of boxing and MMA. It's proper on its arse, I think.
I don't know if I'd say that, because there are some big fights that are coming up, aren't
there?
You know,
there is some.
And I think people are always going to want to get in the pub and watch them big fights, but yeah, stuff like this, I don't think it helps.
So do you think this makes boxing look worse or makes MMA look worse? Because we've just had one of our most like successful champions. Yeah, I just lose to Jake Paul.
Not just lose, get knocked the fuck out. Yeah,
I think everyone knows that it's not a reflection of MMA. Surely not.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'll tell you, I'm not having it, me. I think Askren took a dive, personally. I think there's no way that he can get knocked out that easily by a guy like Jake Paul.
I mean, maybe, but I don't know. He looked pretty happy afterwards. Anyway, so the UFC was on this weekend as well. It's not quite as fun. I don't know if you've watched the fights. I watched the fights this morning.
I watched a few of them, yeah.
Yeah, Whitaker versus Gastelum. What do you think to that?
I thought Jesus Christ, Whitaker looks on fire at the moment, doesn't he? I think he was just faster, he was sharper. He hurt Gastelum a few times, landed good head kicks, didn't he? Had the crispier boxing as well, I thought. So very good performance.
I think he beats Adesanya in the rematch.
You think?
I think so, yeah. I think his movement and everything looks spot on. I think he had a few problems going into the last camp.
Added some takedowns into his game as well now.
He did. Yeah, was he an Australian national wrestling champ?
I don't know, but he doesn't usually use him that much. No. And he took Gastelum down two or three times and controlled him and pinned him.
He did, yeah.
Got on his back as well, didn't he, I think.
Obviously, that's where Adesanya had some issues with Blachowicz.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see where they both go.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jeremy Stephens got taken out. His fight got cancelled because he pushed the guy out of the way and gave him a concussion from a push, which is insane. I don't know if he's going to get any repercussions from the UFC or...
If you'd want to admit that if you were the other guy, you'd make up some other issues, wouldn't you? I'd say I fell over or something.
So you had some kidney failure or something because of the weight.
Yeah, but do the UFC punish him though? Or do they just let it go? Because they've probably lost some money maybe on that.
It'd be interesting to see if they both still get paid because they've made weight.
Do you think they're going to ban people from touching each other now at Wayne's? Or
it should be banned anyway. There's no need to put your hands on someone outside of the cage, in my opinion.
No. The kid had his hand behind
it. It does build up like the marketing type.
But the kid had his hands behind his back. It didn't even make sense why he pushed him.
If someone gets in your face, by all means, if someone gets in my face, I'm going to push him. But like, you know, like going nose to nose and touching you. But like you say, the kid had his hands behind his back. There's no need to put your hands on another.
Yeah,
outside
at
the
least
cage,
that hard. Happen. Anyway, yeah. Push him that hard. Yeah. But yeah, it's insane. I thought it was a fairly boring card. Whitaker looked good, but from start to finish, I wasn't that excited by it this morning watching it.
No, it wasn't a massive. I watched that Luis Pena fight and that Munez as well. I thought that was a decent fight. But I think there's only that and maybe one other fight that I watched from the card.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that interesting, to be fair.
No. Anyway, let's get into predictions for UFC 261. So again, like I've already said, this is episode one of Fight Predictions going through 3 months. This is how the points work. We use something called prediction points.
Confidence points, we call them, don't we?
Right, so they're called prediction points now, but sometimes we call them confidence points because we're idiots. I made this rule the other week because we're constantly calling them either prediction or confidence points, so we need a definite name for what they are so it's more easy to understand. We're going to call them prediction points.
I've never heard them called prediction points.
I must say, I thought they were called confidence points myself.
They were, right? But Natalie kept calling them, and me kept calling them prediction points. So right. I kept flopping back and forth. There's a couple of other podcasts that call them confidence points. So just to be a little bit different, even though I stole it from those other podcasts, we're going to call them prediction points because it's points that you're predicting on that fight. So for big pay-per-views like UFC 261, we usually go with 7 fights, and then fight nights, we go for 6 fights. So we'll go for 7 fights on this one. The fight you're most confident on, you'd put 7 points on. And the next fight you're most confident on, 6, 5, 4, down to the one you're least confident on, which you put 1 on. You add them all up at the end, depending on which fight you got right, and then you move on from there. Yeah, over 3 months. I think that's all the rules. Is that all the rules? Yeah. Also, you can't change your picks once we start. Because it wouldn't be fair on the guy who picks first.
I've already seen him, like, you know, trying to look over my shoulder when I lean in. Like,
I couldn't pick out
you're
what was
close.
Going on there.
You
the amount of writing you've got
other.
On there, I could not pick them out. Looks like a dissertation.
Right then, so let's get into it. The order we'll go in, we'll go Musa, you'll go first, then I'll, and then me. So fight one, we've got Dwight Grant versus, I think this will be the only one I struggle to pronounce, Stefan Sekulic.
Yeah, Steffi S.
Yeah. What?
Steffi S, we'll call
him. Just call him Big Steph.
I thought I got it completely wrong, but yeah Stefan Sekulic. Okay. We'll call him Stefan. Yeah. So Dwight Grant versus R. Stefan.
Right.
Musa, who have you got and how many points?
I've gone, it looks like a bit of a pick and fight on paper. They're both 10-3. Dwight Grant's quite a bit older, but he's also got the more UFC experience. Both coming off losses. Stefan's had 1 fight and 1 loss in the UFC. Dwight Grant is 2-2. But Dwight Grant's actually fought some good guys. He's got a win over Alan Juban, who we both rate very highly on this podcast. He's also probably the best looking guy on the roster. No homo. He's frighteningly good looking dude. His actual loss as well came at welterweight, and he lost to Daniel Rodriguez, who just monstered Mike Perry. So if you look at Dwight Grant, he's huge at lightweight. He's a huge man. I think he's fought the better quality opposition. I think Dwight Grant takes this, and I'm reasonably confident I'm going to put 3 points on Dwight Grant.
So 3 points on Dwight Grant. So all, who have you got and how many points?
I looked at them again. I think they look quite evenly matched. Notice that they're both coming off losses. I did pick Grant. I went 2 points on Grant. The main reason for that, so that we'll just call him Steffi, hasn't been that active lately. I think he's not fought since about 2017, has he? I don't think.
I've got it down as September 2018.
18, yeah. So I think a couple of years of not fighting, or well, 2.5 years now, I think that's got to have an impact on your game, hasn't it?
Yeah. So I'm in agreement with both of you. They're not actually both 10-3. Grant's 10-3. Our Steffi, he's 12-3. Oh, but pretty close.
Yeah, yeah.
Grant's 3-2. Steffi's 3-2 in their last five fights. And like you say, Grant's got a win over Alan Jaban, which is, I think, the most impressive of all their wins. Again, Steffi's not fought since September 2018, so it's coming up to sort of 3 years. I always like to go with the more active guy. I'm going 2 points on Dwight Grant.
I love the way this Steffi thing's just stuck as well.
Oh, Steph.
Not even smiling as you say it. Yeah, Steffi, yeah.
Literally forgot what his surname is now, so we're going with it.
So next fight, Alex Oliveira, the cowboy, versus Randy Brown. Who have you got and how many points, Musa?
I love Alex Oliveira. I think he's an absolute beast. He comes to war. He always puts a show on. But I was having a look at the records, and Randy Brown's actually got a win against Wally Alves, who was the only man until Usman to beat Colby Covington. So, through the ridiculous laws of MMA math, Randy Brown's actually better than, like, every other welterweight bar Colby and Usman. So, he's obviously going to win easily. So, 2 points on Randy Brown. Very tongue-in-cheek.
Right then, so, Olu, have you got and how many points?
Yeah, I went for Randy Brown as well. I think he beat some decent fighters, hadn't he, on his record. Also, he was having a good fight against Nico Price and he got knocked out, didn't he, in like a really awkward position. I think he took him down and it was like from guard or something like that, weren't it? I can't remember. But yeah, I went 4 points for Brown.
Yep. So he did get knocked out by Price, but that was in 2018. His last fight against Vicente Luque, he also got knocked out in August of last year in the second round. So for me, how many points did you say?
I added 4 points for Brown.
4 points. So for me, Oliveira 2-3 in his last five. Brown 3-2 in his last five. It'd be easy to argue, though, that Oliveira's fought better competition. He looks like he's about 40 years old, but it says here he's 33. So I'm like, fucking hell, he's pretty
hard
much
paper round. Interesting fact about him, though. Didn't he was out for a few months, weren't he? Because he got a grenade thrown at him in Brazil and ended up with like fragments of grenade in his ankle. So he's
probably lived a tough life. So that's why he looks so rough. But he is tough. 22-9-1, Randy Brown 12-4, 30 years old Randy Brown. I think I'm always worried about fighters coming off a KO loss. I'm going to go Oliveira for one prediction point. I nearly did it already. I nearly called it the wrong thing.
You can edit that out, can't you?
are we just brushing over the fact that he had a grenade thrown at him and lived? Like, I want to change my pick now. I know he survives grenade attacks. No one's beaten him in a cage fight.
Have we fact checked that though? Is that? Are we sure?
I'm pretty sure it's like a known thing. Yeah.
It's a known thing, right? Okay. So he survived a grenade attack. So I'm quite confident with that then, even though I've only gone 1 point. So we've actually I've gone different than both of you two there. So fight number three, we've got Anthony Smith versus Jimmy Crute. Musu, have you got and how many points?
Okay, I'm going to take I'm going to go a bit different to what I usually go. Usually I just pick them out of thin air and just with the ridiculous facts, but I've actually done a bit of research into this. Jimmy Crute's coming off a win against Sipakauskas, who I personally rate as one of the top prospects from the UK. I actually cornered one of our friends that he fought Pukauskas on his last fight before Pukauskas got picked for the UFC, I think. Fight Star London, corner Dan Konecki for him. Yeah, I just think Jimmy Crute, I think he's got the better overall game of where they are in their career. He's a crisp striker, he's got good wrestling. He lands 4.36 significant strikes per minute on average and has a takedown success of 75% in comparison to Smith's 2.94 strikes per minute and 28% takedown average. So on the numbers, it looks like he's got the better overall game. Obviously, Smith has fought the better quality opposition. But I just have Crute is in a better stage of his career for me. He's a young guy and he's coming up. I think Smith's possibly had his best days are behind him now. So I have Crute winning this one and I'm relatively confident. I'm going to go 4 points Crute.
4 points on Crute. So Al, who have you got and how many points?
I went for Smith. I put 1 point on Smith though, so I'm not overly confident. And I do think Jimmy Crute is sort of a bit of a prospect, isn't he? You can tell he's on the rise. But I do think, you know, Smith being there with John Jones, went all the way with John Jones, fought Dominic Reyes as well, you know, and he's fought some big names, hasn't he? You know, he's not always won, but he's always comes to fight. So, not overly confident, but I think he might just nick it on his experience, and he's a beastie guy as well, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Gutsy showing against John Jones as well, to be fair. Like, cause...
Gutsy, yeah. He also went to a decision, lost, but he went to a decision with Rakic, who's a beast.
Yeah, Rakic, yeah.
So if you can go 15 minutes with Rakic...
I also like how he got kneed in the head illegally and didn't just bitch out and take the win. I believe that was a Jones fight, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Jones fight.
And he said, I don't want to win like that. I'm getting beat. I'll either win the fight or I'll lose the fight.
It was like a clean knee as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But he could arguably go, right, yeah, I can't continue. Let's just sort of rematch out right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It depends, though. It depends how... Only he knows how hurt he was. But for me, Smith is coming off a win against Clark, a submission in round one. But before that, he lost, like we said, a decision against Rakic, and he got KO'd by Tajiri before that one. I think he got his teeth knocked out. He lost quite a lot of teeth as well.
Oh, it was brutal. He was getting brutalized on the ground.
Took a beating on that. I've got Smith, 34-16, so he's had a lot of fights. Jimmy Crute, 12-1. He's only got one loss on his career. Obviously, he's fought the better competition. He's 2-3 in his last five. Obviously, one of those is John Jones, so it's expected. Crute's 4-1 in his last five, all finishes, even the one he lost. He's got 2 KOs and 2 subs in those wins. And he also got a submission victory over Paul Craig, which is quite impressive.
Yeah, I noticed that as well, actually. Yeah,
it's not easy to tap Paul Craig. He's got some serious submission offense and defense, I'm guessing. But yeah, he's got a sub over Paul Craig, so I wouldn't be surprised if he subs Smith here. I think there's a changing of the guard on its way here. I think Smith may be on his way out, or at least maybe on his way out of that top 10. And Crute's going to come in and be a contender. I'm feeling confident.
Yeah, I thought a similar thing to that you said. But Smith, he's had nearly 40-odd fights, I think, hasn't he?
Well, he's had 34-16, so
so that's like 50-odd fights, even more than that. But
he's only 50 fights,
30,
yeah. 50
yeah he's only 33, though. So at the same time, it's like, you don't know. Yeah.
Is it damage or... Like I say, he's in his prime, but he's took a lot of damage.
Big
but
lads as well.
He's got experience.
You're getting beaten, aren't you, every fight? Yeah.
He's got that experience. But I am feeling confident in this one. I'm going to go 5 prediction points on Jimmy Crute. Next fight, we've got the rematch from before they was in the UFC. Uriah Hall versus Chris Weidman. Musa, who have you got?
Touched upon this, that this is probably the one I'm most... Not necessarily most excited about, but it was the hardest one for me to call on the card, this fight. I don't know about you guys. For me, it was like... Which Weidman shows up? I'd love Weidman to have a bit of renaissance because he's one of my favourite fighters. I think he's just a gutsy fighter. He's technically sound. At one point, it looked like him and Rockhold were just going to dominate that division. The belt was going to pass back and forth between them for years.
Yep.
And they both kind of just fell off. And I'd love Weidman to have a little bit of a resurgence, really. But again, I'm just going on where they are in their career. And I think out of the two, Uriah Hall's in the better position. I think he's physically and his athletic prowess. I just think he's probably going to have enough to get it done. And I think I don't want to see it, but I could see him maybe finishing Weidman. And if Weidman takes another finish, it could be time to call it a day. But again, I'd love to be wrong on this one, but I'm going Uriah Hall, 1 confidence point.
Yep. That's
prediction point, sorry.
Prediction point. All who have you got and how many points?
I was the same as Musa, to be honest, with this one, in that I think it's a very exciting, interesting matchup in terms of, you know, who's going to get the better hand. But I think one thing that I think set it apart for myself was when we saw Uriah Hall fought Antonio Carlos Jr., who's like, you know, quite a dominant grappler, similar to what Chris Weidman is. You know, he just couldn't get him down, and he's got a good takedown defense. And I can see if Weidman can't get him down, I can see him getting lit up on the feet. So I ended up going with 3 confidence points for Hall.
3 prediction points.
Prediction points, sorry.
On primetime Hall.
We're going to have to start giving people burpees for calling confidence points, aren't we?
So we've got Uriah Hall, 17-9. So not gleaming, but not bad. Weidman, 15-5. So Uriah Hall's actually had more fights than Weidman. Weidman's 36, Uriah Hall's 36. They're not old, but they're in this next couple of years, they're going to be sort of pushing that sort of limit. Uriah Hall, 4-1 in his last 5. His last fight was against Anderson Silva. The only issue with that one is I thought he looked terrible in that fight. I think he should have took Anderson out. I'm as the biggest Anderson fan in the world. I think he should have took him out in the first round. Anderson looked terrible. I don't know if he gave him too much respect and he just wanted to play around with him a little bit, but he seemed to drag the fight out. I felt Hall could have finished him a lot quicker. Since losing to Rockhold, Wyman's 2-5 And all five of those losses, he got KO'd. So it's worrying.
That's
so
a scary statistic, that.
He's had seven fights since the Rockhold fight. Yeah, 2-5. And he got knocked out in all five losses.
He's had moments in them fights, though. I remember he had some good, he had some really good grappling exchanges with Romero.
Yeah.
He actually took Romero down at one stage, and yeah.
He's had some good performances, but again, he just gets knocked out. If this was a grappler he was facing, a jiu-jitsu guy or a wrestler, I'd be more confident on Wyman. I was actually leaning all the way towards him until I started really thinking about this, and I thought, Hall's biggest attribute is he's got power and he's quick. I think if he catches him or clips him, he'll put him away.
Scary power.
Yeah, I think Hall's going to win this one, even though I don't think Hall's going to be in the top five anytime soon. I think this is a winnable fight for him. I'm going to go 4 prediction points on Uriah Hall. Next fight, we've got the first of 3 title fights. So the women's flyweight championship, the champion Valentina Shevchenko versus the challenger Jessica Andrade. Musa, who have you got and how many points?
The thing is with this one is she's kind of a teammate of ours, isn't she, Zhang Weili? for those that don't know, and I've mentioned it every time she's ever come up on the podcast or in life, but our good...
honorary shoot member.
Yeah, our good friend and head coach Sam Bolt actually trained and possibly dated her in China. We don't know the full details, but definitely trained her. Something might have happened, who knows? So yeah, he's kind of like her, he's like Chinese mistress. So I'm kind of out of like loyalty. I'm going to go for her 5 points. on top of that though, to be fair, I'll just go into a bit more detail. I just think she's a better fighter than Rose. I think Rose might be more skilled in a lot of areas.
Hang on a minute, what fight are you on here? What fight are you on? Valentina Shevchenko versus Jessica Andrade.
Oh, I thought we were going to be Zhang. Okay.
I was like, what?
Well, let's do this one first and we'll come back.
Let's do this one first.
Okay, so we're doing Zhang versus
Rose. Cancel what I just said. It's not for the women's flyweight title. One's for the women's strawweight title. Zhang Weili versus Rose Namajunas.
I've been hit a lot of times. But yeah, so yeah, as I said, I think Zhang Weili is the better fighter. She hits harder, she's more athletic, and she's a legit knockout artist. Yeah. I think Rose might have the advantage in some of the skill sets. I think she's possibly the better jiu-jitsu. She's definitely the better jiu-jitsu. And her boxing's tidier. But I just think Zhang's more likely to get the finish. And she's more athletic. And I think Zhang takes this one 5 points.
Yep. Yep.
Why didn't you stop me earlier, by the way, when I started going on about the Chinese?
I was just a bit confused. I was a bit confused, but I thought it was something I'd done wrong. But I was like, no, I've definitely said Valentina Shevchenko. But I like to listen to you talk about Zhang Weili, so I'll probably let it go on a little bit for that.
you can't redo their moments, can you?
No. Well, this is what it's about. 3 absolute idiots talking about fights. But anyway, so Ol, who have you got? Zhang Weili or Rose Namajunas?
Yeah, I went the same. So I went 5 points on Zhang Weili. And I do think, like Rose, you know, she's got like, you know, very crispy boxing, hasn't she? Good with the jab. She's like quite long, but I think she's like, you know, fairly delicate as well in terms of a fighter, and saw that when she fought Andrade, you know, just slammed it, didn't she? And even when the fight, when she won, she took a lot of damage. And I think like Weili Zhang is like a Andrade 2.0, isn't she? She's like more explosive, more aggressive, moves forward more. So I don't think that Rose is going to be able to keep her off her for 25 minutes. I think she'll probably get a knockout with like ground and pound or something. As well, I think with Rose as well, she seems like, you know, like in terms of how much her head's in the game, like she says, doesn't she? Like, oh, you know,
back
like,
and forth a little bit, isn't she?
Yeah, she reminds me, you know, she reminds me of that, you know, Million Dollar Baby. Have you seen that film?
I don't think I've actually watched that. Have you not? I've heard of it, but
she reminds me of the girl off that, Rose. She's like, yeah, I think she'll.
She's a little sweeter though, isn't it? You just want to take her, right? Like, sort of, But yeah, you just said more succinctly what I was trying to say.
You had a bit of a ramble, didn't you? Yeah. You got there in the end.
Yeah. I think you were just a bit off because you just realised you'd got on fire. Yeah,
proper balls, yo.
Got some
I was that
factor.
Eager to go on about the fact that Sam possibly banged this Chinese bird.
Potentially got a half Chinese illegitimate child.
That I was just so obsessed with saying that I just jumped the gun.
Right then, so we've got Zhang Weili, Rose Namajunas. So I am going to go. So we've got Weili is 21-0, undefeated. We've got Namajunas 10-4. Similar ages, sort of. Weili is 31. Namajunas is only 28, even though she feels like she's been around a while. Only 14 fights on a record. Since 2017, Rose has only fought once every year. And that was Andrade twice and Joanna twice. So in the last, so since 2017, she's fought the same two girls in four fights. She's not fought anybody new since 2017, is what I'm trying to say. I don't know why I'm going the long way around that. Whaley has a better variety of wins when it comes to decisions, KOs, and subs. She's equally got about the same. She's got a good amount of decisions, a good amount of KOs, and a good amount of subs. So she's good everywhere. I'm not massively confident on this because when Rose is on, she's awesome. She's amazing. But I'm going to go Zhang Weili, 3 prediction points. So once again, the flyweight champion, Valentina Shevchenko against Jessica Andrade.
Okay, so for this one, we're going to go for Usman. Shevchenko on this one. I think everything you can say about a fight, you know, all the hyperbole you can go on about how good, like, Shevchenko really is that good. She's good everywhere, great cardio, she's strong. Her striking's, like, super technical.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculously technical. Can Andrade win? She's got ways to win. Yeah. But, like, striking-wise, she's more effective from in the boxing range. She likes to get in, and I don't think Shevchenko... I think Shevchenko's far too canny.
She's got awesome footwork.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But just, I think Shevchenko just dictates where the fight's at in terms of range. And I think Andrade has just got a brawler's chance, really. I'm confident Shevchenko wins this, and then maybe we get to see a rematch.
Nunes,
somewhere down the line, possibly. Maybe she takes some time, puts some size on.
Maybe.
So I'm going to go 7 points on Shevchenko. I'm very surprised if I'm wrong.
Yeah. So, Ol, who have you got on how many points?
Yeah, I don't say him, to be honest, if I went... it's weird, isn't it? If we're taking a test, you'd definitely think I was cheating. But I went 7 points with Shevchenko as well. I think a big thing behind this, like with Andrade, she come up from... not strawweight. Yeah, she's from strawweight, didn't she?
She was at bantamweight. She dropped to strawweight and now she's going up to flyweight. So she's fought in all three.
Right, right.
But so, bantamweight was a long time ago, but she looked tiny in there.
Right, right. So she's coming up in weight as well, isn't she?
She is now, yeah.
And I think she's like one of those that, you know, obviously she lands with the overhand. Like she's an aggressive fighter, isn't she? And she's explosive as well. But I don't see Shevchenko being there. You know, she's got good footwork, and she's a, you know, work off the jab, got good kicks as well. I think she'll keep her at distance, pick her apart, and then probably knock her out with a head kick. Normally how it goes, isn't it? I even see, like, with Weili Zhang knocking out Andrade as well, that, you know, once she gets it put on her as well, she's not quite so aggressive then as well. So,
yeah
I can see her getting hurt and then get put in away, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So, Shevchenko, 20-3. Andrade, 21-8. Yeah, Shevchenko's 33. Andrade, 29. I think the problem with this is, how can you not go with Shevchenko? Even if you're an Andrade fan, you sort of have to pick Shevchenko. So it's understandable that you've both got the same pick with the same points. Andrade does like to press forward and try and, like, land a hook or overhand right. Problem is, Shevchenko is an amazing counterfighter, and she's got knockout power as well. She can knock you out with her hands or feet. Unlike sort of Joanna, when Andrade fought Joanna, she was walking her down, and Joanna's catching her with shots, but she hasn't necessarily got the knockout power that Shevchenko has. Andrade is 3-2 in her last five. She's on a 1-fight win streak. She's 1-2 in her last three. Shevchenko is 5-0 in her last five fights. She's obviously got more wins before that, but her last five fights were all title fights, and she's 5-0. So last five fights, 5-round fights. Yeah, you'd have to be crazy to not go with Shevchenko, so I'm going to go 6 prediction points on Valentina Shevchenko. Main event. So it's the rematch from... So Kamaru Usman's fought once since this. Jorge Masvidal's last fight was this fight. Obviously on a full camp. We've got Kamaru Usman, the champion, versus Jorge Masvidal for the welterweight championship. Musa, who have you got and how many points?
On this one, nothing I've seen since... I think we were talking about this, like, touched on it earlier. Nothing I've seen since has made me think that anything different might happen. I just think Usman is just stupidly good. I remember not long ago we did the Greatest of All Time podcast, and we talked about him maybe getting his way in there. Having seen his performances since that, I'd probably put him in my top three welterweights of all time already.
Yeah.
I think the guy could probably finish his career as one of, if not the greatest welterweight of all time. He's just dominant. He's getting better every fight. His skill set's actually getting more developed. He's finishing people now in different ways. He's beaten, in my opinion, the two most dangerous guys, especially Colby, who I think's the only real challenger for his crown, and then Gilbert Burns. He's already beat the two best guys. Masvidal's always got a chance, and he's a scrappy dude, but I don't see a path to victory for Masvidal. I just think Usman can take a shot. He's never really come. Burns kind of half rocked him, but he didn't look out of it. He was still defending intelligently. I don't see a path to victory for Masvidal. I think Usman probably just bullies him against the fence, and just he probably survives Masvidal because he's a tough cookie, but I just see Usman bullying him against the fence, taking him down, grinding him out, and pretty much doing what he wants to him. So I'm going to go with Usman, and that's my last 6 points.
6 points on Usman. So, Ol, who have you got and how many points?
Yeah, Adam, same, to be honest with you, again. Went Usman 6 points. And I do think, like, with Masvidal, he's got more of an a puncher's chance, but I think he got, you know, bullied in the last fight, didn't he? You know, got clinched, he got took down, and he just got ground out like everyone else does. And again, I don't think that Masvidal can hurt Usman. I think, you know, like, Burns were landing knees, weren't he? Big overhands, and more explosive fight, and he didn't really manage to rock him that much.
He did rock him in the first round.
He did, but he weren't like...
He wobbled him, didn't he?
He weren't in, like, deep water, though, was he, or anything?
Probably so. Not.
I just think with the question is, as well, I think, is Masvidal took that fight, it says, on 6 days' notice, but, you know, was he training for the fight? What shape was he?
Apparently,
well?
he was helping Poirier get ready to fight, so he was in the gym.
Yeah. So I think he was probably better cardio than he was letting on. But it would be interesting to see if he can make the adjustments, because the gym that he's at American Top Team, that Mike Brown, that he always comes up with good game plans, doesn't he, for people? He's sort of like Dustin fighting Connor. He's sort of Masvidal knee and Ben Askren. So it's a case of, you know, have they found something out in that first fight? And that they can put that into play, and if they found a way to figure him out or not. So I'd be interested to see.
It's a good narrative, that, actually, when you talk about the coaching, because you see, you got Mike Brown, who we've talked about before, as like being a bit of a technical genius and savant of MMA. And you've got Trevor Whitman in Usman's corner.
Yeah.
And I think probably Henry Hoof's gym was the better gym to learn your trade. But I think if you want someone to game plan for you, I think Trevor Whitman's right up there with Greg Jackson as one of the best game plans in the game. So definitely. I think that'll be interesting to see, like you say, tactically how they play. Yeah.
Definitely. So I'm going to disagree with you on this one. When it comes to, you haven't seen anything different since the first fight. I have seen something different. And I think Usman's more confident now. I think the fights before he fought Jorge, they were very grapple heavy. And I think going into the Jorge fight, it was like, I'm the grappler, he's the striker. And in that last fight against Burns, I wouldn't be surprised now if Usman knows he can knock out Masvidal. And I think he will knock him out in this fight. I think Usman will have confidence in his hands. They'll still grapple him and wear him down. I don't think he'll feel like he has to hold him against the cage for the entire thing. I think he'll realise he can break and knock him out if he wants to. And I see Usman putting him away maybe the second or third round by KO, because he has got the power, and I think he's got the confidence now. I'm going to go 7 confident. I'm not even going to give you any facts about him. Actually, no, go on. I'll give you a few facts. I like to throw some facts out.
Tease us a little. Give us a few facts. Go on.
So 18-1 Usman. I've written down, so I may as well. 35-14 for Masvidal. Usman's last 4 title fights in a row, 2 decisions and 2 KOs. Masvidal 6-4 in his last 10 fights. So just to throw some facts at you there. 6-4 is quite worrying, to be honest. But yeah, I'm going to go 7 prediction points on Kamaru Usman. Yeah, I think, like I say, I think he's knocking him out. So we happy with that?
Yeah. Can I just say 6-4 worrying as in that's not good? You're not impressed with. How six much has MMA changed? Because I remember
six
Randy
and four
Couture's,
is good. Yeah, it is fairly good, but to be the best in the world in that weight class.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You've got to look at who they've fought as well. That's a big thing, isn't it? You've got to think Usman's, in his last 5 fights, he's 5-0, and he's fought literally the top 5.
The best of,
I think him and Colby could possibly, I think they could be 2 of the greatest welterweights of all time, both of them. I think it's amazing they're in the same era for us. It's crap for them that they're in the same era. Because you could probably see them dominating any other era. Do you know what I mean?
I'm excited about a Colby Usman rematch.
I'm more excited about that.
I think you want to chuck like Burns and Edwards in that mix as well. That'd be good. I think I'd like to see Burns fight Colby, and I'd like to see Edwards fight both of them too.
Oh, agreed. Yeah.
Edwards is fighting Diaz next, isn't he?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
So
apparently, if Diaz wins, what's his name? The manager. The terrorist snitch, what's his name?
Ali
Abdelaziz. Yeah.
Has said that if Diaz wins, and he's the number one contender, not Colby.
Imagine.
Usman just licking his lips at the thought of fighting Diaz.
I genuinely wanted to see an Edwards Wonderboy fight.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I'd like to see Diaz fight again, but not really this one for me. But yeah, so that'll do us. So we're about just over 30 minutes there. So that'll do us. So as always, follow us on Instagram at TheCPWPod. on Instagram. Yeah, well, I've got quite a good thumbnail for this one. I like it anyway. I've got some good ones lined up, but we'll go from there. But anyway, thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.